In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To be without sight, temporarily, suddenly, or permanently from birth, means that a person will experience the world in a new way. Physical, emotional, and yes, spiritual. Helen Keller, born in Alabama in 1880, and who lost her sight and her hearing as a result of a childhood illness, refused to give in to her long struggles to communicate. And I'm sure many of you know, went on to become an author, disability rights advocate, political activist, and lecturer. Among her many profound and famous sayings, she said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision." Keller, as with many famous artists, composers, hymn writers, organists, politicians, and inventors without sight, refused to accept their disability was not something that would define their whole life. Keller also said, "The chief handicap of the blind is not blindness, but the attitude of seeing people towards them." This is, of course, still the experience of many who are disabled in any way, whose lives are defined by what they cannot do, rather than by what they can do, and indeed, who they are. In today's gospel reading, we encounter a man marginalized by society and religion. His physical blindness defined his whole life and at every level. Not only was he an outsider because he was blind, he encountered judgments and assumptions about the very cause of his blindness. The man encountered religious leaders whose superior, self-righteous, and legalistic attitudes to the letter of the law made them dismissive of anyone. Anyone who did not interpret things their way. Without sight, this man, he could never hope to gain a valued place in society, and so he needed to beg and wait. And wait and beg, while others barely saw him and passed him by. Though in this healing, the one that we have just heard, Jesus not only made the man whole, he also exposed the hypocrisy of those whose own prejudice made them, in reality, the disabled ones. The fourth gospel is unlike the three synoptic gospels and the miracles in that gospel. John's gospel are described as signs by which God's glory is revealed. Jesus opened the man's eyes in a curious way. For Jesus spat on the ground and made mud from clay and saliva, anointed the man's eyes and told him to wash in the pool. Theologians have a word to describe the significance of this kind of action, the andric action, from the two Greek words for God and man, and in which Jesus shows the cooperation of the divine with the earthly. These familiar, powerful elements of earth, clay, and water evoke our recollection of the very dust of the ground from which we were created and to which we have returned to regularly during our Lenten journey. Jesus initiated the healing with the very same dust of the ground from which God created Adam, whose name in Hebrew simply means earth. It seems extraordinary that there is such an absence of celebration or wonder at the miracle of this man's healing. Instead, the religious leaders and even the disciples of Jesus became preoccupied and distracted with their bickering over interpretations and attitudes to the law. Their observance of Sabbath law in particular was a stumbling block for them. They failed to see Jesus as the healer, the Word made flesh, the light of the world in their midst. Instead, they dismissed the miracle and described Jesus as a sinner. But in John's Gospel, miracles are signs or pointers to something even more powerful. Do we also get bogged down at times, or preoccupied with matters of faith, ritual, or tradition, and in so doing, fail to see the bigger picture of God's creativity at work around us? Do we sometimes miss the miraculous that is given to us as a sign of God's glory because of our own limited sight? In today's gospel reading, Jesus illuminated the unhelpful attitudes of established religious teaching on sin and suffering in the way he relates to and heals and acknowledges our central character, who can now see. Jesus invites us to do the same. Pope Francis, preaching on this same gospel, suggested that the story of the blind man cured by Jesus is our story too. It's so easy to become like the scribes and the Pharisees who are blind to God's mercy. Pope Francis said this: "From the heights of our pride, we judge others, even the Lord. Today, we are invited to open ourselves to Christ's light, so that our lives might bear fruit, to eliminate our behavior that is not Christian. We must repent of this and eliminate these forms of behavior to behave like children of light with humility, patience, and mercy." Jesus invites us all to open our eyes and to respond with love whenever we discover prejudice or injustice. For it is justice and it is love that illuminates the darkness, offering true healing. We are invited to examine our lives against Jesus's own standard of love, perhaps starting with how we respond to those whose abilities or lifestyle seem different to our own. As St. Paul said, "Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light." For example, do we sometimes fail to see and respond to the injustice of modern slavery around the world, or even the human trafficking on our own doorstep? Do we play our part in ensuring all God's children, young people and vulnerable adults, are included, loved, and protected? Or do we prefer to remain in the dark and ignore conversations that make us uncomfortable? Just before the gospel reading, we sang that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, written by John Newton, which is, I'm sure you know, a testimony to his own conversion. Newton recognized his smallness before God and allowed the light of Christ to illumine those wrongful attitudes and undignified actions, which he justified for his own purposes, which in his case had been a commitment to slavery. John's life was turned around from ways of darkness to the very light in which we are too called to participate. So as we approach the light of Easter, God is inviting each and every one of us to set aside the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light, that we might know and say with Newton and sing with all our hearts, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.